Sometimes the clouds hang low, and I'd like to see them go. Then I ask this question, Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me. Although I cannot see, so I just say thank you, Lord, I can't complain. God is so good to me, He is so good to me. More than this world can be, He's so good to me. His Spirit came to me, and He gave me liberty. God is so good to me, I can't complain. Well, you know I've had bad times, and I've had hills to climb, and I've had my sad times, sometimes a weary mind. But when I look around and think these things all out, all of the good times outweigh the bad times, I can't complain. For my Lord, He is good to me. He is so good to me. More than this world can be, He's so good to me. Yes, His Spirit came to me, and He gave me His liberty. My Lord is good to me, I can't complain. For His Spirit came to me, and He gave me His liberty. My Lord is so good to me, I can't complain. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Amen. And I'm going to have a thought today that may sound perhaps a little bit strange to you. But I trust that it'll be a blessing to you as we go into the Word of God. And my thought is this: He came as a thief in the night. He came as a thief in the night. Now, we often hear sermon that He's going to come as a thief in the night. But how about He came as a thief in the night? Praise God. I believe He has come. And I believe, like the sermon I preached here, I believe it was in one of the meetings we had here. I preached a message called, "They Missed It, Have We?" They missed His coming, have we? Talking about the Jews. They missed His coming because there was a little baby laying there in a manger. And parents was very poor. And there was no room at the inn for Him. So they got a cow stall and laid Him in the manger on the straw. And put the cloth down, and there's where a little baby Jesus laid. And he came, but the whole Jewish nation totally missed him. The whole Jewish nation totally missed him while he was walking around here. Amen. He went in the temple at 12-year-old. And they were amazed at his wisdom, how he asked questions and answered questions on the Word of God. Then he went home with Mary and Joseph and were unheard of until he was about 30 years old. That was 18 years that he was there, that he was totally unheard of. Nobody knew he exists. Whatever happened to the young fellow that came to the temple one day, he was long forgotten. Amen. And some people say, though, maybe there was so many wasted years. But that message we preach, all those wasted years, or were they? See, all those wasted years, or were they? I believe I preached that in Glenfort. I believe at the community house. All those wasted years, or were they? See, and in your own life, you may have places where you look back and it seemed like you wasted a lot of years. But no, you didn't waste, because you were maturing. You were getting experiences of life and different things happen. And everything that has happened to you, whether good, bad, happy or sad, whether good, ugly or bad, see, somewhere it has made you what you are today, see. All those experiences combined, amen, if you take one of them out, you wouldn't be the person you are now, see. Amen. So Jesus was unheard of for about 18 years, but then he came to the river and was baptized of John. Amen. And then his ministry, 3.5 years of ministry among the public ministry. Amen. But there he was all that time, yet they totally missed his coming. And then when he came into Jerusalem offering himself as a king, he didn't come in as a great white charger, all fixed up and with all the military paraphernalia on and the throne, someone carrying him on the throne there. And you know how they do back in those days. They towed them, had big sticks and they towed them, and they blow a bugle and all that as a king came. No, he rode in on a little humble donkey. Amen. I guess it would be a donkey. I don't know. The Bible says ass. I don't know what would be. That would be a donkey, or whether it would be. Say it would be something of that humble little beast. Amen. But that was people begin to. The common people, some of them, they begin to pull branches off the tree, lay in the way, pull off their coats, lay for the little donkey to walk over. But the religious leaders of the nation, they rejected him as a whole, didn't they? And they were still waiting and singing about the coming of the Messiah, and they're still doing it today. They missed him. Have we? See? Amen. They missed him. And they said, let him be crucified. And even the priests were the leaders when Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Let's just maybe whip him or something, or scourge him and let him go, because he wanted to at least do something to kind of appeal. But the very chief priest, religious people cried out and got the people stirred up, crucify him, crucify him. Amen. But prior to those coming out crying like that, Pilate said, it's customary, I release one man a year at this certain time of year. Says now he picked the meanest man he had and compared him with Jesus. He said, now we got Barabbas here. He was a murderer, insurrection, and all kind, everything you could think of was piled up on Barabbas. And he says, now we have Jesus. Says it's customary each year we release one. And to Pilate, there was that was a no-brainer, we would say. They'd say, release Jesus and keep Barabbas, crucify. No, but they did right the opposite. They says, release Barabbas, release Barabbas. Why, he was a murderer, a criminal and all. And Pilate says, well, shall I do with this man called Jesus? And with one accord, they just cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, let him be crucified. They missed him. They didn't know that he was the Savior of the world. They didn't know he's the one that created the world, as the Word says. Amen. And so, as they cried, crucify him, crucify him, Pilate's wife brought a note to him. She was a pagan lady, and he, of course, Pilate was too. But this note says, have thou nothing to do with this just man, because I suffered many things in the dream because of him this night. So that scared Pilate. He knew now he was getting in trouble. So he sent and got some water and washed his hands before the people. He said, I find no fault with this man. I washed my hands so that he would be free from, I'm free from this innocent man's blood. But you can't wash Jesus off your hand. How many knows it? Amen. They couldn't wash. Pilate, he couldn't wash. But then he was the one, the only man in that area, the only man there that could crucify him or let him go. See? And because of the persuasion of the people, he delivered him to be crucified. And that, too many times today, people let people have influence on them and persuade them to go contrary because something looked like it'd be the most popular thing to do. But in serving God, it's usually never the popular thing to do. And a lot of times it's contrary to what a lot of other people think. Amen. But we must do what's right in all cases, irregardless. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. So, they missed it. They totally missed it. He came as a thief in the night. As far as they was concerned, a little baby in a manger. Amen. Now we find the Lord coming back again as a mighty angel. Amen. The whole world has missed His coming. Amen. How many knows it? There's a message today. He's in the message. Alright, now let me read this. Let's pray first though. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, just pray, God, that You will anoint us, Lord, as we endeavor to minister this Word of God. I just pray, Lord, that somehow or another You will just put the words in our mouth, that we may speak words, Lord, that will be edifying, uplifting, and revealing to the people that will cause a great awakening. Lord, the people will realize we surely have arrived at the end time. And that the Lord has come and it's been as a thief in the night. And the world, the church world, the religious world has missed it. Oh God, just anoint and bless us now, we pray, as we minister Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now Paul writing to the folks here, the Christians here, Thessalonians 5, starting verse 1. And speaking of the coming Lord as it's being dealt with prior to getting here. He said, but of the times and of the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. In other words, if you're in the light, you're awake, you have no need. We can see it, can't we? All right, next verse says, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now I want you to watch. That's why they missed it. He came as a thief in the night. Amen. That's why Jesus came as a thief in the night, laying in the manger, see. I'll continue. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. In other words, you understand this. You know what's going on. But, brethren, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, he's saying there's going to be some that this day won't overtake them as a thief. There'll be some that's awake, that's knowledgeable, that's walking in the light, that in perfect contact with the Lord, that knows what has happened. See? Amen. Amen. Do you know it? Amen. Praise God. And then he continues here, ye are all the children of light. Now light has to do with understanding. God is light. Amen. In him no darkness. It's an understanding. And it's something that's totally opposed to ignorance and stupidity and like that, when that's represented as darkness. When you turn these lights on, irregardless of how dark it is, amen, that darkness flee. Amen. He said, ye are the children of light. You're children of understanding. You're children of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So you're part of that. You're connecting that. Brethren, you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Now see, he's making such a clear differentiation. We are not of the night. We're not of the darkness. We're children of the light, and we know. And he said, you don't even need anybody to tell you about it. In other words, this among you with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God coming upon you, you get that feeling, you know. Amen. He is here. He is here. Amen. Remember the song? Amen. He's here today. He's here in the power of the resurrected Savior. He's here in the power of the Word. He's here to make himself known in the Word. He's here to apply completely that new covenant. And that new covenant is this, that the Holy Spirit will write his laws in your mind. Not with ink, it says. Not with ink. But he'll write his laws in your heart and in your mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's here writing. He's using his pencil today. Amen. And this pencil don't write natural word. A lot of time we'll hear preacher preach. And maybe you wouldn't say preaching as much as giving exhortation or exhorting. Because they will take a subject and take certain scriptures, and all you got to do is have electronic Bible, computer, or strong concordance. You can take a subject and you can get all the scriptures that relate to that subject. And you can stand up here and you can read them. And you can put on a little act as you read, and you can be dramatic about it, some of it. But yet, that is not the real Word.
Amen.
Amen. That's the house the Word lives in. Amen. That's the garden the Word grows in. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they're life. And it says they will be written in your heart and in your mind by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. He'll make a new covenant with you. He'll put his law in your mind and in your heart. And Paul said, you're not children of night. Amen. Children of darkness, nor children of light. And said you don't even need somebody to maybe read a whole lot and try to prove. You don't have to prove this. You just speak it, and God does the writing.
Amen.
Amen. Is that right? Amen. All right. Now notice the title of the subject as we go. Keep in mind that they missed him. And the title here is, he came as a thief in the night. He came as a thief in the night. And they missed him, see? Amen. And they missed it. They have totally missed it today. There are still people looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, we know that his coming physically to rapture people away, that is a foregone conclusion. It's in the Word. Amen. And then rapture us away and then come back in the millennia as a natural person. We covered last week, I believe. But he comes before then. Amen. As a mighty angel, Christ comes spiritually into the earth, and you that are his wife are baptized into the body and made part of him. See? Amen. There's one portion of the Word of God that reveals where we're at today, And the part that applies to us, and the prophet of God spoke this, he says, how can you be the bride unless you recognize the word that is for you? Amen. He said you've got to recognize your part of the word. Now there's a part of the word that cannot be written in letter. It's the only word that's wrote in your heart. Amen. It's Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, where you go get that little book and you eat it and you begin to prophesy again. Hallelujah. I took 3 messages years ago. Many years, in fact. I don't know exactly how many years ago. But I took the Great Commission, preached 3 sermons on it. The first Great Commission was Jesus telling His disciples, go preach the Word and go on and do this. He said, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go not to the Gentiles. Go not to the Samaritan. Go anything. And then the second phase of that Great Commission was there on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. When He said, preach the Word to all nations, kindred and tongues. Praise the Lord. Amen. It went into a different, it took on greater meaning. And then, here come Paul. He was persecuting this and God struck him down on the way to Damascus with a great light. Amen. God gave him another commission. The third commission came into play right then. Amen. He said, I'm going to send you to a faraway place that you may go preach to the heathens. Hallelujah. To the Gentile. Anybody that's not a Jew is a heathen. And I could say a lot along these lines, but I'm going to forego saying it. Amen. I think everybody knows. See, in their eyes, we are heathen. And I praise God. I love being a heathen. Because that's a Gentile bride. And that's who Paul's message. If you don't take King James, the other translation, they'll say Gentiles or something. But in the King James Version, he said, go, I'll send you far away to the heathen. And there in Acts chapter 2, Peter and all of them was having a conference up at Jerusalem. Well, Paul and Titus went up. Paul and Barnabas went up. And that was Titus already got there. Amen. And Paul got in there. They were in conference. And the Bible says, as Paul wrote, they added nothing unto me but contrariwise. When they saw that the gospel of the Gentiles was committed unto me as the gospel of the Jews were to Paul, or the circumcision, uncircumcision. Amen. And when Peter finally saw this, and he says, he gave him a right hand of fellowship, that watch now, that they should go to the heathens. Amen. Now you see the language of you, Paul, y'all go on to the heathen. And we'll go to the circumcision. In other words, we'll go there. See, the thing is, that was such a difference, and we're heathen. But the third part of that Great Commission, it started off in the days of Paul. It started off by Paul introducing a Gentile bride to Christ, and he introduced her as a virgin, see. Amen. He says, I fear as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, that your mind to be corrupt from this simplicity that's in Christ. Amen. This ain't all that complicated, he said. Amen. And then as he went forth preaching the gospel, he realized there's men among you now. As soon as I'm gone, I'm going to rise up and draw disciples up. He said the spirit of iniquity already worked. It fell away. We know that. Because if you'll read in that first church age in the book of Revelation chapter 2, Jesus gave a message to that Ephesus church age. He said, thou art fallen from thy first love. Amen. But now she's back. Now she's back, picked that third commission up again, and this time it goes back to just the same thing Paul preached. Amen, that the Word of God is Spirit. Amen, he said the letter will kill, but it's the Spirit of the Word that will give you life, and said God's made us able ministers, not of the letter of the Word, but of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise God. So at this time, amen, he has come back again. Now I want to inject this here to get this coming so you'll understand. When the church fell away, he came as high priest. And last week we covered that to show you that the literal Jesus didn't get up and come down to earth. He projected himself as high priest. And he walked among the seven church ages. And we see there in the heaven when he takes this book to bring back to us, which is unwritten word, spoken word, that was a bloody lamb. Seven eyes. Seven horns. Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth from all the earth. That was in that church age where that blood had to be. That's why people, they went heavy on communion. You know, taking the communion, foot washing and all that. Amen. Going through a period. That blood was constantly being reminded. See, the book of Hebrews, we just covered the other week, he said that we should have no more conscience of sin, see. In the Old Testament, he said that every year they got to offer a new sacrifice, bring your sins back up again, and do it and get another sacrifice. But he said, Jesus Christ, as the high priest, one likened to Melchizedek, he entered once into the holy places, having obtained eternal redemption for us all, and he said there should be no more remembrance of sin. But in the Old Testament, those sacrifices, that was a remembrance made every year. And now, throughout the church age, the church, and this was alright, it was in line, because the church was coming to a period, it weren't time, Christ hadn't come yet, but he's come as a thief now. Amen. But through that time, yes, they had the wine and drank it, this is the type of the blood, they eat the bread, this is the type of the body, and they, every year, they brought to remembrance. The sins of the people. And it's usually said during that time, and I've been there too, because I came out of the church age into this. See, I started in the church ages. Like Brother Brown, Brother Jackson, I started in the church age, but he has prevailed me from Revelation 8 and 7 to Revelation 10, 7. Prevail me from Revelation 10:7 to 10:8 to this final unspoken message, amen, that's written in your heart, and that's the only word that's going to be written in the heart, and it's not going to be written in anybody's heart but his wife. Amen. Hallelujah. And she's baptized into his body. She's got his mind. She's got his ways. She's got his potential. Amen. And we've preached a message just recently that was a fivefold ministry until we reached the perfect stature of the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then it's not just the ministry bringing it. It's the whole body come together as one. And John is a type of the whole thing. He takes a little book and God says, prophesy now. Amen. Reinstate that great commission. Thou must prophesy to the nation, kindreds, and tongues, and so on. Amen. That's what we're doing today. Hallelujah. We're not ministering the natural word, but we're ministering the life of the word, which is Jesus as he has come back in this last day. Amen. The spirit of the body had to come before the members could be baptized into it. See. Amen. While the church age was in process, and while Jesus was pictured projecting himself walking around among the seven candlesticks, and the church was going on with the church systems and so on and so forth like that, having communion, foot washing, all these things, in remembrance of that. Well, now, if you go to a certain place, you have foot washing. No, you don't wash. In the certain parts of the country, even when I was in Malaysia, they could have a dirt floor in their hut there in a little place. Amen. You did not dare walk in there with your shoes on. Amen. So your feet, then Singapore. Amen. You can see the picture. I believe it's on the web. I preach barefooted. I asked them, I said, well, it'd be all right to leave my socks on. And the pastor said, well, say if your feet's cold, if your feet's cold, you go ahead and keep them on. It's cold. About 80 degrees, I guess, maybe more. So it'd be hard to make an excuse, my feet's are cold. So I pull my shoes off, I'm preaching there barefooted, see. So we get that and we'll try to bring it over here sometimes and incorporate it with our church ways of doing things. Amen. But we've come to the place now at His coming when He came, see. He said, do this in remembrance of me till I come, so on like that, you know. Amen. But the point being, that high priest's age, yes, he was projected for 2,000 years as a high priest. Amen. That's your lamb with blood on the horns, a bloody lamb with the 7 eyes and 7 horns. And that's where he walked among the candlesticks, girded down to the paths with a girdle, and high priest, all the high priest things. That's Revelation chapter 1. You read that. Then go on into 2, you'll see each church age he walked there. But in the last day, here it comes. See, in the book of Revelation, third chapter, that church age is over. John says, I was picked up into heaven. And I heard a voice like a trumpet. And that's what you're hearing if you've been picked up. Amen. It weren't the rapture. It was picked up out of that age. Amen. Where they could hear a voice. You can't hear a voice in the church age. You can't hear this as long as you're in the church age. Amen. He has called out the people. Amen. And his wife has made herself ready. Now, John was a type of the wife of the Lamb, see. And I don't know. You might want to look over this and read it. It's very interesting. As Jesus walked, there was 12 of the disciples, including Judas, the apostles. Amen. For a while, Judas, of course, we know he was ordained to do what he did. Because the Bible says and at the end he said, be better that man not have been born. You know, so we're not going to deal with that. But there was Peter, great apostle, on the day of Pentecost. The one had the gospel for the Jews. But there was John. He always recognized the Lord, see. Remember when Jesus on the shore making the fish and stuff, they didn't know who it was. But John recognized him. When he heard his voice, recognized him. When they were out fishing and they couldn't catch anything. And I'm not going to go and read this because it take too much time, draw it out too long. I'm just going to hit this and for your study, your thoughts. Well, they didn't know who it was, but John, he said, it's the Lord. And when John said, it's the Lord, Peter jumped overboard. He put on his coat there and got over and went and walked on the water, see. But it's always John, and the Bible says that disciple whom the Lord loved. He leaned on his breast, and see, John was prophesied he wouldn't see death till he saw the kingdom. Hallelujah, and God let him go right through it. And notice, when they preached the gospel, I'm going to just drop this note in. Maybe we'll deal with it at another time, but not today, because we can't get to it today. But John, he didn't stick with Peter too much. Peter was of the Jewish brethren. But notice, he went with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary trip. Then John, his ways were a little contrary to Paul's. Because he was trying to work between the Jew and Gentile. And Paul was headlong for the Gentiles, 100%. So John got out there with him. Then he went back to Jerusalem. He wouldn't go do the work. I don't like the way this thing going. Okay, him and Paul, the contention got so sharp between them. Where is that? 15th chapter or something of Acts or somewhere or another. I'm not going to try to go through it now. But anyway, contention got so sharp between them. One went one way and another went another. Well, John still didn't go back to Jerusalem to work with the apostles. He took Barnabas and went one way, and Paul took Silas and went the other. See, out there among the Gentiles. See, John was that one, and God used him and said, you're not going to see death. The rest of them did. Because I'm going to use you. You're going to be a type of the wife of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Some people say we got the fivefold ministry and apostle, and then we got the ministry of John. Nonsense. The ministry of John is this apostolic message. Amen. John is a type not only of the ministry, but all the members of the bride combined. He's the one went and took the little book and ate it. Amen. How many sees it now? Don't let this point pass, you see. Amen. Some say, well, there'll probably be a ministry like John's ministry. Amen. John was a type of that. He was reserved. And he was on. Why was he the one that disciple that Jesus loved? Why was he the only one recognized? It's the Lord. Amen. All the other was there and heard him, but there was only one that recognized who it was. It was John. Amen. John being coming the type of the wife of Christ this last day. Amen. She can hear the voice. There's others that can't. They don't know who it is. But John said, it's the Lord. Amen. And we can say today, it's the Lord. This message that's blasting around and around the world, saying Christ has put His laws in your heart and in your mind. He's baptized you into a body. Amen. He has come, and He came as a thief in the night. Can you say amen? Oh boy, I tell you, I'm getting going here now. Brother Francis, I don't want to blow a fuse. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, this thing is so real. It's so good. Now remember, only the wife will be baptized into the body, see. Not the foolish virgins. Not the tribulation saints. See, there was other people when Jesus spoke. They heard the natural word, but they didn't hear the spirit of it. There's people that this voice grabs them. Amen. And when it does, amen, they can't turn loose from it. They might, if you're one of them, you might go astray a little bit, but you'll run right back in. I think about the story Brother Brown told about this shepherd. He had a little sheep. Well, but there was one little sheep. He kept having to run off over here, and he'd have to spend half his time trying to keep that little sheep gathered up. But it wouldn't do right no way at all. So finally, that shepherd did something that seems very cruel. That shepherd broke the leg of that little sheep, so it couldn't walk. And then he towed it around till it got well. And once that little sheep got well, it would never leave that shepherd. It was always right in his way. It never would get stray away from him, see. I'll tell you, God knows exactly our number. He knows who we are. He knows we're part of the bride. And He knows what He wants to make us. And He's made us that. Can you say amen? Praise God. Now notice here, children of light. There's more to this. As usual, I never get all the reading. Amen. But let us not sleep, he says down here. You children of light, not, that's verse 6. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Amen. They don't know what's going on. And then, but let us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Oh, with that. And for a helmet of salvation, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Then it goes on. But I got another two or three scriptures I want to read. I want to back up and read one other here before. I don't know, we may not get as far as I intended to. But in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, 2 Corinthians, third chapter. I just want to get just a little something there. And you that got these other messages about the law, how Melchizedek come as something different. And this message coming something different. There's a brother down in the country, told Sister Barbara, that I told my wife, Brother Gene Collins, we all know him. Brother Gene Collins said, well, I'll tell you what, Brother Ben preaches different. He said, but somehow it's right. Amen. Somehow it's right. Amen. In other words, Melchizedek, now notice the last messages we had. Melchizedek, he weren't part of that priestly order. See, how many knows that? He came and said Jesus came in the order of Melchizedek, in that He didn't proceed forth in their Roman, or Hebrews rather, 7 and 14, I believe it is, where it says He sprang forth from Judah, which there's nothing said about the priest. In other words, He came in a brand new order. after the church age, this minister has come in a brand new order, not part of the church age, not part of the law.
Amen.
Ministering at the coming of the Lord. Now, there have been, of course, we all know this, but it won't hurt to go over it just a little bit. There have been three great men that come in our day. There's Brother Brown. He came, and he was a type, and he revealed the Son of Man. Call them out, tell them where they're from, and all this, that, and the other. We know the story of that. And then here comes Raymond Jackson. He revealed to us about Israel, what the trumpets were and all that, and got us down to, through Revelation chapter 10, where all those mysteries were finished that relate to the church age. But then here, a voice spoke from heaven. We got that in 2006 in a place, I believe it was, what was the name of that? Midway, West Virginia, and also Glenfort. Brother Hibby Hatfield was the pastor of Midway, and Brother Samuel Francis, pastor in Glenfort, where the voice of authorization spake and said, go get the little book. It propels us into totally a new ministry, totally new air. Amen. Where He has come. Amen. He has come. It reveals that He has come. And He came as a thief in the night. Came right through those ministries. And now right here, it's been hid. This little ministry here started out. And you can get the story, my life story. How I started out there. Born just 2.5, 3 pounds there. And they didn't think I was going to live. Where my sister Stella May down here, she can give you the story. She's still alive. She's 80-something, but she'll still tell you a story. Mama almost, and Brother Clifford might be know something about it. Just a little tiny thing, and she made me sugar tits. My sister did, to give me something to help me live, get me where I could drink, take milk, a regular bottle, and so on. And the doctor said, the poor little thing can't live. And Mama's about dead, too. She couldn't. But the thing is, there lay one just a tiny little thing that kept me in the shoebox. You remember, Brother Clifford? Brother, yeah, we got a witness right here among us, yeah. Amen. Kept me in the shoebox. But see, somehow or another, instead of dying, I began to come out of it. And in those days, it weren't going to take them to the hospital and put them on all kind of life support. You either lived or died. Amen. That we were mountain people. Amen. But look what happened. Amen. Just like Jesus. And I'm not comparing myself with Him, but I'm just showing the coming. Look at Him there in the manger. Nobody knew about poor. Amen. And they said, how did this man know these things? He don't even know letters. You see what I'm saying? He's never learned to read. How did he know these things? Glory to God. But here it has come all through that. All He's come. And they missed it. Amen. This ministry here, he says, go get my wife for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. All over the world, people are coming into this. One mind, one accord, being baptized into the body as His wife. And John types that right out as you go take the book and eat it. And that's why this message of prophesying going all over the world. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Praise God. Oh, I tell you. I was going to read. Let's see. Where am I at?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I still got just a little bit. Here just a little bit of time. But let's look at this. I'm in 2 Corinthians 3. I'm going to get down to verse 2. It says, ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In other words, you're just what? You don't know what Brother Ben believes. You don't know what? You're what I preach. You're what I believe. You're our epistles. See? And then he says here, next verse, he says, inasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, see, he was the Father, he begot. He said, written not with ink. Now here, please don't miss the next word or two. You might want to underline it. But with the Spirit of the living God. not in table of stone, but in flesh, the table of your heart. Now, I want you to know where this word goes, no ink and pen can get there. It's written. It's written. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's written in your heart by the Spirit of God. Now, there's a little more this here. Let's see. We're not sufficient of ourselves, verse 4, but let's get verse 5. Let's get verse 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the new covenant. I want to show you where the new covenant is. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, we preached the message here. Brother Francis said, when I heard it, I laid down on the floor and rolled. I laughed. I just kicked up my legs. He said, you would think that's the craziest thing ever come around. And said, I act like I didn't have a lick of sense. I preached the message where that the natural word is the tree of knowledge. See, you get knowledge. And the letter, the Bible says here, the letter killeth. And in the garden, he said, that they eat of the tree of knowledge, you'll die. And this kills without the Spirit, but it's the Spirit of God, the authorizing voice. Remember the message, unlike Eve, we waited for the authorizing voice. But when you put the Word and Spirit together, amen, it brings forth children with eternal life. Amen. And He makes us able ministers the Spirit of the Word, not just the letter. You see why God chose someone that didn't know a lot of letters. Amen. I read by memory. I don't know word. I can't spell word to write down, but I look at it and I know what it is. Amen. An old Brother Gentry preacher, he said that's a great task. And we were over in Zambia. And you remember Brother Andrews from there at the college? He said, the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life. Look and read something, and then you don't have to know how to spell it. You don't know somebody speak of verbs and nouns and all that. I have no idea what they're talking about. The only thing I do is I start out by listening to people at church read a scripture, and I'd see what they call that letter. Amen. Now, when I look at the word, you say, can you write that? No. Amen. Can you write? I can write V-T-H-E. I got that far. Amen. But most of them I can't, see. But I look and it's just there. I know. But see, God chose somebody because it's not the letter of the Word. It's the Spirit of the Word. Yeah. Amen. It's the Spirit of the Word gives life. The letter of the Word will never, never, never give life. And all your learning mounts to one big zero. Amen. Unless it's anointed with the Spirit of Almighty God. Praise God. All right. Notice that there. The only way this can be wrote is in your heart by the Holy Spirit, not with a pen. I'm going to go to Revelation 10 and bring a little of this in. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get as much of it in, but I think it'll be valuable on this message here to get what I can, and then we can always come back to it some other time. But now notice what the name of the message is. Amen. On His coming, think about it. He says, in the days of Paul, He shall come as a thief in the night. See, I'm saying He came as a thief in the night. Past tense, He came as a thief in the night. Amen. That's not natural word. With a natural word, you can say He's coming, this going out. Amen. But by the Spirit of the living God, He's came. Amen. Now watch, the same one that walked around among the church ages, the same one in heaven with a seven eyes and seven horned bloody lamb that took the book, the same one that come there. It's just the different projections of Christ. And He come down here for His wife, to marry His wife, and to be for the wife to be baptized into His body. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And He said that we would have the mind of Christ. How many knows it? He said, you have the mind of Christ, you're His wife, and you can do no less. Whew. Now this started happening in 63, the seals opened. He says, and I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow about His head. He's being sure that we know who it is. That's the sign of Christ. His face was the sun, feet as pillars of fire. The Christ. And He had in His hand a little book open. It was sealed in heaven. Amen. They lost the Paul and Gage. They put the scripture in there for marriage, see. Amen. The engagement, it stopped off there. So the little book was sealed, but now it's open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and left foot upon the earth and cried with a loud voice when the lion roared. And when he cried, seven thundered under the voices. And that happened just exactly in 63, see, when the seven seals, the seven angels came. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. See, John, type of the bride, about to write. I heard a voice in heaven saying, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Now I want you to watch. The same one that said, seal them up back then, that same voice is going to say, go get the little book and eat it now. The seals are off, see. Amen. That he did in 60. He started the process in 63. Brother Brown came. Then it had to come down, drop down through Brother Jackson. Tells where Israel fit and many other truths. But now we get on down. It says, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that therein are and the earth and the things which are that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no more. Now there's a parable spoken of in Matthew 13 that relates to seven church age. It's a time period. Amen. When the time period come, he gathered the wheat into the garner on that last parable. Amen. Time is no more for it to grow out here in the field. Amen. He has come. Hallelujah. And watch what it says. Time is no more for that time, that age. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophet. Now, if you'll go to Revelation, and I don't want you to do it, but I just want to speak it on tape. In Revelation 1 and 20, when John saw the seven churches, saw seven candlesticks and seven lampstands and all, he said the mystery, talked about the mystery of this. Amen. Then you go through the seventh church. But here he says when the seventh angel sound, that mystery that relates to them seven angels, seven church ages, seven stars, seven candlesticks, he says that mystery will be finished at the sound of the seventh. So Brother Brown thoroughly finished up by the help of the Lord the revelation of the seven church ages. But then there was something that didn't pertain to the seven church age, which was the fifth seal that dealt with the Jews. Brother Brown opened part one, but here come God, seventh apostle. Amen. Cleared it up. And now God prevails us. Watch where he is. He come. Amen. He came as a thief in the night. And when he came, here's what it says. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go, take the little book, and notice he specifically says, which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Now notice it's still in the hand of the angel, but it's open. But the voice of authorization spoke. He said, go get it. Amen. It's transposed from the hand of Christ, the mighty angel. It's not in his hand anymore. Amen. He gives it. John takes it, and John, being a type of the fullness of the man Christ Jesus, which the fivefold ministry brought us to the place, and the Bible says there's a fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4 and 11, 12 and 13. Amen. It says, till we all come together and reach the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. And here it is. Amen. Christ has come. Amen. On earth. And now there's a person on earth that has the mind of Christ. that has the ways of Christ, that has the attributes of Christ. And Jesus gave him the book, which is that word. And no one gets the spiritual word but the bride. Amen. This little book is that spiritual word that's wrote in your heart and in your mind. Hallelujah. And you got to come through the church age and get down through there. Come beyond what Brother Brown says. Beyond Brother Jackson's message. And come on down here. Praise God. Where there's a voice thundering out. And then he said, John, now watch, it's going to be a great transposing, I guess, if that may be the word. It's transposed from the hand of Christ to the hand of John, which is type of the church. In other words, we got the very thing that Christ had in heaven. We got the whole. That's why, amen, if you say this mountain, be thou moved and cast in the sea, it'll be. Praise God. Oh, I'm about to talk in tongues just as sure as the world. Amen. Amen. Watch this next verse now. John being a type now. He's not just type of the ministry, the fivefold ministry. And I if you'll allow me, I'll repeat that. John is not just the type of the fivefold ministry. He's type of the body. And within that body is the fivefold ministry. John, a type of the body, he says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it. It's no longer in the hand. And eat it up, and it shall be in thy, make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet. He said, I took the book. Now, that cuts it off. It's not in hand. There's a people in earth that absolutely stands in his stead. Can you say amen? That has his mind, his work. Amen. John took the book. His wife took the book. Amen. See, John types out. You say, well, John's a man. How could he type out the bride? If you'll read Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 there, it says that we, the church, reached the fullness of the stature of the man. In other words, the man part represents you don't see the works of us anymore. Amen. It's the works of Christ. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? He said, I took the book. That means it came out of the hand of Christ. Now you've got it. What are you going to do with it? You've got it. It's not in the hand of Christ any longer. Amen. Do you see that? It's not in the hand of Christ any longer. John says, I took the book. And notice when he took it, he says, out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in the mouth of sweetest honey. As soon as I'd eaten it, my belly would be. And he said, watch this third phase of the Great Commission come back into focus. That's reinstated. Amen. Remember when Jesus sent the disciples out, what did he tell them? These works that I do. See, you go do more of the same. He said, greater work. All of them together would be greater than the one man. Now, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We've taken the little book. Amen. He reinstates that commission. Hallelujah. The third part of that commission that was cut off. Glory to God. And he said, go prophesy again. Go preach again. Hallelujah. Amen. Go prophesy again. Who to? Amen. Before many people, nation, tongues, and kings. Amen. Praise God. He came as a thief in the night. Not he's going to come as a thief in the night. When he come back again, when he come back to the Jews and to the earth, the Bible says, Revelation chapter 1, every eye shall see him. Read it in Revelation chapter 1. He's coming back as a physical man. The angel said, this same Jesus whom you see go away will come back in like manner. Peter in the third chapter of the book of Acts says he said the heavens must receive him or retain him until the times of restitution, until the millennia. God's going to send Jesus back to this earth again. But here's a coming. They missed it, have we? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do they miss it? He came as a thief in the night. He came as a thief in the night. He came in this message here. Amen. In this little book, now I'm going to say this, and this is my closing statement. There's so many statements I could make. So many things. But this is my closing statements. The only word that can be written in your heart and in your mind is that's in the little book. Because first of all, the little book is spiritual. Amen. There's no literal book coming down. A spiritual angel brings a spiritual book. It's that word. It's that tree of life planted again. And it's growing. It's flourishing. It's bringing forth fruit. Hallelujah. And we're eating just fine. God bless you. Oh, I'm about to... Am I too old to do backflips? Amen. Well, I've had a good time today, haven't you? Amen. 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 This is so good. So good. So good. So good. So good. Amen. God's Word. You and I are the salt upon this earth. And if we're true to God, we're of great worth. But salt has no value if its savor it has lost. So before you start, sit down and count the cost. Count the cost, my friend, before you take your stand. And be sure that your faith is not in man. For salt has no value if its savor it has lost. So before you start, sit down and count the cost. Amen. Deal with him now. Amen. Heavenly Father, take these words, use them for your glory, and bless them, Lord, and may they go to find a place in every heart and mind that you've ordained. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.